Thursday, June the 16th, 2011. This is Russ Dizdar. Global mind, the global brain, the global mind, that presence out there, that what you feel in the air, what you see occurring in the world around us, there's something supranatural guiding politics, guiding military development, without question, embedded in the super elite. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about Inception. We've been working on this theme all during the week. And let me encourage you to go to shatterthedarkness.net and look at the theme for the week. Look at the overview. There's PDF file notes. And tonight, we have A, B, C. What is an idea and does it have power? B, what is inception? C, what is imposition of will? Now, we're going to take a look at that. Then we're going to take a look again at the three arenas. Got a special note for soldiers, politicians, and the economic elite towards the end. Want to say welcome to those listening by satellite. Welcome to those listening by internet radio, one of the broadest radio systems now in the world. And by those who download the archives, middle of Russia, middle of China, noticing that from preemption broadcast, our weekly downloads, and even the Ragged Edge show that we do on Wednesday nights late, we're already seeing many, many others download it since last night. So we're glad. We welcome all of you. Welcome those who are new. If you don't know this voice, this is Russ Dizdar, and you can find out everything about us and about the work at www.shatterthedarkness.net. For believers in Christ and for those who do some praying with us, let's remember this is a supernatural providential hour, really a moment of decision, interaction. You see, as I'm talking right now, there's ideas going through our heads and, well, thoughts anyway. But thoughts become those ideas, and we're going to talk about what a concept is, what an idea really is, and whether we act on all of them or some of them. Where do they come from? How do we build them in our own lives? And it's vital because, you know, you and I, we act on what we know, what we're thinking about, what we're engaging. We make decisions. So we want to say thank you for making a decision to listen tonight. We're glad that you are. And again, let us tell you quickly, future Congress coming up in about a month. Branson, Missouri, big, one of the biggest conferences like this. And at all the ones we've been at, because we go to the conference not just to do a lecture. We go to ask and seek that God would bring revival, save souls, minister to lives, show his power, bring destruction to the dark side. That's simply what we're all about. Unashamed, we know that God loves you, God knows you, and nobody wants you more than God. So we pray today the hand of God to be outstretched to save and to heal and to deliver whenever and wherever this is listened to. So may God visit you today. I was reading in the Psalms early today, Psalm 101, Psalm 102, Psalm 103, and wow, what a different expression in each of those in the sight of God. I don't know if you're into Psalms or not, but constantly, no matter how many times you read, going back again and again and again, you see the character of God, the works of God, the word of God, the will of God, the heart of God in the midst of the life of a believer. Well, sometimes filled with joy, sometimes filled with pain. But in all those Psalms, 150 of them, there's the writers that are constantly seeking God and making God. Notice again, not energy, not powers that be, not the man in the sky, but a personal relationship. Oh, it involves immense power, the past, present, and the future. But the lives of those, well, you got to read the Psalms and check it out. And especially if you're going through things, no sense just sitting around thinking about it. Soak yourself in the book of Psalms and read and read and read and allow God to speak to you and show you that it's okay to grieve, that it's okay for a while. May God your refuge, and in every case in the Psalms, God comes to answer, to deliver, Well, so many things. So I've got to, if you don't mind today, brag on God. God is good, and I know His presence and His providence and His work and His plan. But I also know that in this world that we live in, there's you can feel it in the air, as we've said. There's a ominous dark cloud, more than a cloud. We've dealt with this week identifying that feeling, identifying that presence in the air, on the ground, guiding that sense of destiny leading to chaos, leading to catastrophic collapse worldwide. Well, let me tell you about a fellow that I've read about a lot. Adolf Hitler. I was reading one of the books about him where it said that he had one time stood in front of a cross, a crucifix, a large one, where Christ was, you know, the crucifix. Christ is hanging on the cross, kind of a picture of the death of Christ. And there it is said that Hitler despised Christ and despised his weakness. He saw it all as utter sheer weakness. Now, what gave him that idea? What made him think that way? Was it Mein Kampf? Was it his pain? Was it his own bitterness? Was it his own abandonment by his father? What was the issue? Was it the sin nature? Or was it the devil engaged in his life? Oh, he was dancing with the demons in occultism, no question about it. But if the author of that book is right, then he stood in despising Christ. What gave him the idea to get rid of the Jews? What was that all about? Where did that idea that led to the plot of the plan and to Auschwitz, the gates of Auschwitz, what led to all that? Was Hitler there to see them shovel the hundreds of bodies in? I don't think so. But did he know? Yes. Where's Hitler now? Well, where's Judas? I mean, what gave Judas the idea? There he was hanging around, didn't believe in Jesus, didn't believe in Christ, and lived his life, a greed, a trickery, that secret embedded, lie in his life. Bible just tells us that Satan entered him. Did he know it? Did he feel it? Did he go zombie-like and all of a sudden go out and just like a zombie betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver? Is that how it happened? Listen, when the secular world looks at Judas, there are those that pity Judas. There are those that the Gnostic writers wanted to reinvent Judas. But it's very clear what Judas did and what door in the back of his being was left wide open. It is very clear that Satan entered him and the betrayal occurred. Satan had a part in the taking of Christ to that cross. That about 1900 years later, Hitler would take a look at an image of a crucifix and despise the weakness of Christ. Did he know Christ? Did he know the power of that? Did he know that Jesus was there dying as a substitute for the sum total of every single human being ever has, will, or is living right now? That's pretty immense. The sum total, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering hell, conquering it all, breaking the barrier between us and God, and bringing and wielding the power and presence and summons of God to bring us back. It's all about bringing us back. Hitler didn't get it, did he? I don't think Mengele got it. What gave him the idea, you know, to do those tests on the twins, to use human beings as, guinea pigs, frogs in a biological, you know, classroom on dice. You know what I'm talking about. Ideas. The global mind, the global brain, many people are writing about it. Many people are talking about it. New Agers by the hundreds of thousands, if not more, they understand this concept. Many millions, if not billions, though, feel the presence What is it? Well, we're calling it here Global Mind. I told you yesterday that whenever I say it, I mean the fallen cherub and the sum total of the fallen angels and the demons, that are described by the Spirit of God as Arche, Cosmocrator, Exousia, and Porneus Pneumenikai. They're also called Planos, or unclean spirits. There's an array. There's a collective. They're together. Revelation 12's clear. The devil and his angelos, his messengers. So it's vast. It's broad. Emerging as never before in history. And again, because of that heads up, that the insight, the intel that God gives in advance, you don't have to be taken by surprise. You don't have to look at the world and think, man, look how screwed up it is. What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. There is a coming catastrophic collapse. The apocalypse of the Antichrist. The ascendancy. The rise of a new regime. Political, military, economic. The false prophet. All the way to Armageddon. It's all coming down, my friends. That's what it's all about. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about the inception of this. The idea that presence out there, you can call it global mind. You can call it, in all kinds of fields, they are scraping to find out in this dark cave of fallen human history. There are those that feel, hear, know something is there. They're trying to give description. God has done it. Accurate. As always, infallible, irrevocable, very defined, very definitive. God is definitive about the future for the sake of evangelism, for the sake of purity of the believer's life, for the sake of, you know what it does in my life? It's the content that tells me that God is sovereign, God is omniscient, omnipresent, that God is beyond history, past, current, future. He's in it. He's beyond it. God is God. God has a heart of concern. God cares. The communication is warning. To those that are in the mix of it, all the way back to Psalm 2, 3,000 years ago, the warning to the political, military, economic elite, the warning to them, you know, and why in the future they're going to take their stand, why they're going to feel the rage and the conspiracy to stand against God and against Christ. So an ancient prophecy is boldly speaking, stop, listen, look what's going on, kiss the Son, embrace the Christ. The Savior, there's a warning. There's a warning. Future prophecy tells us that there's going to be a lot of folks that don't heed the warning of God, but instead embrace the mask of the fallen cherub. They're going to embrace the presence behind global mind. I would say right now there are literally a few billion that do. In different ways, all those different ways lead to the same dark ocean. No question about that. On your notes, if you have them today, point A, what is an idea and does it have power? 3 points. Thoughts, number one, what an idea is, it's a thought, but more than a thought. I mean, we could have a thought, I can think, ice cream. But beyond just saying ice cream in my head, a concept, ice cream, a certain kind of ice cream, a favorite ice cream, is the ice cream store open? Is it too late? Do I feel like getting up and driving down, and do I have a couple dollars to get one of those waffle cone, double dip, banana pudding flavored ice cream cones? Now, I have just put an idea in your head, haven't I? You're thinking, you're imaging the waffle cone, the banana pudding ice cream. Have you ever had that? You know, it's like that dessert they have, that banana pudding with the little wafers in it. But it's ice cream here locally. It's my favorite. So far this year, that little ice cream stand, I'm gonna go out and protest because they haven't had that flavor yet. All last year they did. This year they haven't had it once. So I've been stuck with some other kinds. Ideas. It's concept. But it's more than that. Think about now ideas. Ideas really come to their plans. They can become intents. They can become an intent. You know, you get a thought, you get a concept, you start thinking about something, you get an idea. You know, an idea. I got an idea. Let's go to the beach. I got an idea. Let's go down and get a pizza. I got an idea. So there's all kinds of things we can say that, you know, we wonder about something and so forth. But when the idea turns into plan, then it turns into intent, the idea then moves to the next stage. We act on it. As a matter of fact, nobody acts on anything unless they got the idea. You got to have the idea. If you're going to go down and get ice cream in a certain flavor, in a certain kind, at a certain time, in a certain place, you got to have the idea. It's got to be all built up in your head. You got to have the plan, the intent, and then you got to act on it. But all actions have ideas behind it. If I'm going to go to a movie tonight, it's because I had an idea. I looked things up. I thought about it. Some are big and broad ideas. Some are short, little ones. The idea of having a green tea prior to the show tonight, I had an idea about it. I got up and I made some. It's sitting here to my right. I've finished off half of it. That's ideas. I mean, I could have an idea. The homeless, they need some food. I'm going to take food there. I got an idea. There's a friend in need right now. I was trying to work through Western Union to get them some money, and there's a delay, and I'm trying to think of other ideas of getting them some funding out there in Spain as they've been robbed and left. So there's ideas, and we go through ideas, kind of like, you know, we go through a pile. You ever have a junk drawer, you know, in your house, and you go to that junk drawer, and you go through all the stuff, and you find something you were looking for, you find something you weren't looking for, but you know you needed, and you wanted it? Ideas. We can have a lot of them floating around in our heads. We can have an idea sitting there for years and never act on it. I got an idea. I want to start storing up 6 months' worth of food. Haven't done it yet, have you? I want to have food unless, you know, in case the big, you know, catastrophic chaos comes. I mean, if I really believe this, do I want to be prepared? Well, ask the folks in Katrina. Ask the folks in Southeast Asia. Ask the folks, you know, listen, people know how to do this in nations around the world where all kinds of things happen adversely. An idea. So we must understand that ideas, it's really thought. It's thought. But it's concept. It has the idea of planning, and it builds, and it's there's intent, and then ultimately, it needs to be acted on. What about the bank robber here locally that went to the bank and robbed the bank? There was a stupid thought. There was an idea, a stupid idea. But there was the act. Ideas can be good. God glorifying, people helping. Ideas can be demonic, satanically inspired. Let me tell you a story when it comes down to ideas. When it comes down to, listen, global brain, Revelation 12, the dragon, the ancient serpent, he seeks to lead the whole world astray. Ideas planted, thoughts communicated. Massive communication, whether just embedded in feeling or in an involuntary thought. Ideas have power. Hitler had ideas. It's in Mein Kampf. Himmler had ideas about the Aryan race and backbreeding to the Nephilim blood. Mengele had ideas, and they acted on it. Charles Manson had ideas, and he acted on it. Listen, there are going to be politicians left and right telling about the ideas for the nation of the United States of America. There are ideas in the heads and the hearts. Where do they all come from? Our multidisciplinary, approach to life and education and what our positions are. You know, when somebody says liberal or they say conservative, those are positions, and you back the positions up. They're ideas. The ideas flowing from thought and what we commit ourselves to. We reject ideas. I reject liberal ideas. I reject gay marriage. There's really no such thing. I mean, anybody can plan anything. A person can marry his dog. A person can marry his, a doorknob. Just because we say something, it doesn't mean that it's right smart, or anything else like that. People act on dark ideas. Judas was there in all of his sin, all of his Christ-rejecting sin, but it wasn't until Satan entered into him, a supernatural, non-human intelligence entered into him. Did he feel it? Did he sense it? Was Satan able to do it without him knowing what was going on, other than a surge of feeling and or idea? Ooh, 30 pieces of silver. Ooh, that's a lot of bucks. Wow, I can get a lot of money for just telling them where he's at. I can just lead them right out there, walk up to Jesus, kiss him on his cheek, and they'll know right where he's at to arrest him and take him off to crucify him. 30 pieces of silver is more important to me than the life of that man that walked on water, raised the dead, healed the blind, loved people, spoke words that nobody else did, cast out demons. There's Judas. Is that his thought? Is that his idea? Is that his thinking? 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver. That's what I want over the Son of God. Sell your soul for rock and roll, for drugs, for sex, for hedonism. After he did the act, after the idea implanted, there was inception, the idea was planted. Judas wasn't a zombie. He didn't act under imposed mind control. Idea. If you understand how spiritual warfare works, you understand that involuntary thoughts, involuntary feelings can come in and begin to influence and even drive a person, but the person's got to act. The entity walked into his life. The entity that we're talking about in Revelation 12, Revelation 13, that is building over the last 60, 70 years, the regime. Oh, not Babylon, not Medo-Persia, not Greece, not Rome, the fifth element, the fifth kingdom. 2,600 years ago, spoken about in Daniel, there's another kingdom that will be far beyond the Babylonians, the Medo-Persian, the Greeks, or the Romans. There's a kingdom coming that will be the most supernatural, the most fierce, fast as a leopard, thunderous as a bear, and as loud-mouthed as a roaring lion. Globalism. The global brain, it's all about globalism. Where do the ideas, the ideology of globalism in politics come from? Where does the idea, the ideology of globalism in military, in endeavor come from, in weapons development come from? The economic elite, one bank, one monetary system, where does the idea come from? Ideas are plans, concepts, intent, and then they're acted on. No question, as a believer in Christ, I know that God gives me ideas. God gives me thoughts. God, I look at his word. God shows me. God guides. I know what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. God has never, in 37 years, overtaken my mind. It's never been mind control. It's never been something that usurped my will. You ever read in Philippians that it is God, for the believer now, it is God that works in you, the word meaning a supernatural operative presence of God. He works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Well, yeah, God influences to lead us to will, to want it, and then to act. You see that right there? That God gives inspiration. I thank God for that. God gives inspiration, not only to will, that is the want, but then to actually act according to his good pleasure. God will, you know what God influences us to do? Love people, forgive people, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, lead people to Christ, pray for people to be healed, command demons out. That's a good idea. That's a good thing. That's God. But there's another presence, a global brain, a global mind, a global presence worldwide, a collective that speaks what that one singular entity speaks. That entity that engaged the human race in the garden, the entity that engaged Christ when he came, the entity that walked right into Judas's life. Can I ask you, do you have any non-human intelligences operative in your life? Bottom line, it comes down to it. It's either God or the devil. Which is it? One leads in one direction, away from God, to do the will of this fallen one. And one makes himself known in Christ with his love and salvation and his presence and power, and desires us to move his direction. You can read about this in Galatians, Christian, when it talks about the inner spiritual warfare, that struggle, flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants to go in one direction. The Spirit of God wants us to go another direction. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's a spelling out of victory that comes in Christ and through him when it comes to ideas. There's a way as a believer, the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the Word of God being known more and more and more in your life, that you're able to discern the difference. I mean, there's you, there's your thinking, there's your thoughts, there's you as a human being, there's the influence and the will of God and the Word of God in God's direction, but there's also the spiritual warfare, the arrows of the evil one sent in voluntary communication, in voluntary feelings. It's the planting of ideas. You know what that is? The planting of ideas. I mean, Satan did it in the garden. Satan did it there in the face-to-face encounter with Jesus, Matthew 4. Obviously, he did it when he entered Judas and unleashed his will, that was ideas. He willed to will Judas to betray Christ. Judas betrayed Christ based on the ideas that surfaced. Everything the Scripture tells us that he didn't know. And every Luciferian, every Satanist should understand something very clearly, that when it was done, when it was all over, where was Judas then? Was he a happy camper? Did he take his 30 pieces of silver and go out and buy himself an ice cream cone of banana pudding ice cream? Did he? Did he go out and buy himself a little hut? Did he go home and take it to his family and feed his kids? No, Satan exited him. Exit darkness. After he used Judas, exit darkness, left empty, by himself, guilt, there he was. Maybe there was an inspiration. Go hang yourself, you filthy human being. He went out and hung himself. And whether the rope broke and he fell out down, and or whether they cut it, whatever, he fell into the rocks and his guts opened up. I know that's gross, but it's there in Scripture, there in Acts. Akaldem, a field of blood, where the intestines of Judas spilled all over the place. Field of blood. Every Satanist, every Luciferian, every elitist politician, military individual committed to that dark side needs to understand Akaldem. To the Satanist listening, to the subpersonality listening, to the chosen one hearing, Akaldama. It's your destiny. Unless you get out now, point B on the page. What is Inception? Now, there is a movie out about it. It's kind of hard to watch. It's so involved. A lot of gamers kind of like that kind of a movie. But the concept was planting an idea deep down into somebody's mind without them knowing that you're planting it, and planting it in such a way into their mind and in their thought that they would then take over the idea, think it's a good idea, think they thought the idea, and then proceed with the idea. Inception. It's a great word in describing how Satan sends those arrows for believers in Christ. You know Ephesians 6 very well, do you? The armor of God, truth, righteousness, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Raise up the shield of faith, by which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. There are believers listening right now, listening to this right now, that arrows have been sent for some time. Inception, spiritual demonic inception has occurred. Thoughts, ideas came in feelings. They came into your mind and heart. You didn't know where they came from. They were involuntary, but all of a sudden you think they're yours. They're lies. Maybe they're self-cursings. Maybe they're telling you can't do anything for God, that you don't want to walk with God, that you don't feel like it, that you don't feel like God's around. Feelings that go opposite to the Word of God. Ideas, thoughts that go opposite to God. Do you know where they're coming from? There's a sender. There's a sender. You are the one they are sending it to. God says, as the Spirit of God outlines victory, lift up the shield of faith, faith in Christ and in the Word of God. By that you can extinguish all. You see the victory here? You can extinguish all of the flaming arrows. Whatever they send, you can extinguish. Whatever they, you know, if all hell sends those flaming arrows. You ever see that movie, the 300 Spartans? Oh, the old one, not the crazy new one out there. The old one where, you know, they all got into a circle towards the end, and they were sending those arrows by the thousands. Thousands of arrows in the sky now descending on the 300 Spartans, and of course they're holding up their shield. Well, that's the idea, but in Scripture, spiritually, holding up, putting your faith... I mean, it's either yes or no. Faith is either yes or no. So putting up your faith in Christ, in the Word of God, extinguishes, I don't care how many, all of the flaming arrows of the enemy. But inception is inception. Two things, there's a planting of ideas where a person is unwitting. They don't know. Like Judas, they don't know. Like believers who are not mature in Christ. The Bible talks about growing up in our salvation, about becoming mature and strong and deeper in Christ. The idea in 1 John is there are the technia, there are the paideia. There are, there's the children, there's the young ones, and then there are the paters, the fathers. There are the older, stronger Christians, there are the believers in the middle ground, and then there are the newborns, the new believers. Last night on the show, a dear sister out of Indiana called, and she was telling, she was a witch, all years and years and years in witchcraft and all the stuff. She turned to Christ. She gave her life to Christ, and she was telling, it was on the story, I mean, it's recorded, it's on the archives. She called in, we talked to her. Incredible testimony last night. When I asked her about why she turned to Christ, this past witch in Wicca and all the things she was into, New Age stuff, all the stuff. I mean, you know, it's eclectic and all the stuff they were getting into. And again, the hate, she said, the spells that she would do against people and the things that she was learning that she would apply in her hatred towards others. It was in turning to Jesus Christ, she describes that the love of God and now the love that guides and directs and leads her. Inception. You see, when you're deep and dark into the dark side, I mean, it's so easy for Satan to move you and guide you and lead you. It was so easy for Satan to guide Hitler. You don't think he did? I think he did. I think that there was a national spiritual embedding of the dark side in political ideology, military vision, enforcement, the actual plans for the future. Auschwitz was the devil's idea. implemented into a brain, a mind, thought about, considered, acted upon. The final solution was a number of thoughts that brought out idea, ideology, planning, plot. And millions of human beings became the recipients of those ideas planted by inception. Most people I've dealt with over 30-some years haven't come in and said, hey, the devil told me to go over there and rape that little girl. But I have had people tell me there was such an impulse, such a feeling, such an idea, such a drivenness to do what I did, I didn't know how to stop it. Because they opened the door so wide, so broad, so deep to the dark side. And that's what a lot of New Agers and a lot of, you know, individuals that already are grasping and grabbing and engaging and embracing Luciferic globalism. So that when the events of chaos and a rise of a world teacher and a new regime, oh, at first it's going to be a dream come true that had been planted by the fallen cherub in the first place. A dream that won't. It's like the Judas dream. It's no different. What happened to a singular individual will happen to a nation like Germany, will happen to the world as a whole. Ideas that affect, infect, guide, direct the whole world. And the idea comes from the heart of the fallen cherub. Planting them into the minds and hearts of politicians. I mean, if you go and study in political ideology, the UN, if you go and study the Rothschilds and the whole stream of bloodlines and the filthy, wealthy, greedy elite, and if you do all of that, track back where the ideas begin, where they come from, how they were wide open. As a matter of fact, by scripture, if you understand the devil's mind, if you understand the devil's intent, if you understand the devil's agenda, you'll be able to see where he's been operating in lives. You'll see it in the context of their speech, of their actions. Those acting to implement globalism, and especially those seeking Luciferic globalism. I mean, they don't call it that, but they're seeking globalism with the accepted reality, the accepted necessity of a great cleansing. Oh, there's got to be a few billion people cleansed off the planet. You know, the Georgia Guidestones, whatever you want to look at, there's this growing. I mean, the 2012 prophecies, let me tell you again, more and more and more layering of the concept of a cleansing, a getting rid of, a catastrophic need to get rid of an overpopulated planet so that the ones left, there'd be a more manageable, there'd be a more environmentally friendly number of human beings left. So there's going to be a lot of convincing. There's going to be a lot of ideas, ideology that's going to be planted and put into the hearts and the minds of those layered already that don't know the difference, don't know how to discern. There's going to be others by seduction, by just sheer seduction. I mean, that's what happened in the garden, seduction. I mean, even though there was a clear stating of the word of God. You see, in the beginning, humanity stated the word of God, but did not act on it. You ever read in James what the Spirit of God says? Simply to hear the word of God and not act on it, it's no different than Eve in the garden. She quoted the word of God, but didn't act on it, didn't hold, didn't stand, didn't believe it over against the seducing lies of a fallen cherub. One singular scripture can give enormous protection and blessing to your life. Well, again, James 1, the one that listens doesn't put it into practice. Well, that's just self-deception and self-defeat, literally. You have no benefit. Some believers that have been believers 20 years, 30 years, wonder why they're so weak, why they're so scripturally ignorant and spiritually impoverished. You ever read in the book of, you look it up. I'm not going to look it up for you. You look it up. There in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, that's chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2. You look it up where it says how they received the word of God. As it actually is, not as the word of men, but as the word, as it actually is, the word of God that was at work in those, well, who believed it. If you believe the word of God, the biblical idea of belief, if you believe it, you put it into practice. Believing and putting it into practice are inseparable in the biblical concept of believing, of faith. So if you believe the word of God, you put it into practice, and it becomes supernaturally operative in you. Hitler didn't have that. Mengele didn't have that. Himmler didn't have that. Millions of New Agers don't have that. Politicians don't have that. Military minds in what would be considered super intelligent, well, intelligence agencies. Do they really listen? Is what we're saying that important? When it comes to your life and your destiny, yes, it is. By seduction. It's when believers, you know, they know they listen to the devil. They know they listen to the flesh. They know they were tempted by someone else. They knew better. Well, don't just sit around and whine over it. See, there's two kinds of repentance. There's worldly repentance, where you sit around and sob about it all the time and nothing changes. There's godly repentance. It's an act, a turning around. And once you turn around, turn to Jesus, he cleanses you and you move on. Well, then there's no regret. You're done. You're moving forward. Otherwise, you can just sit there in kind of a depressing psychological stupor. You could stop right now as a believer and say, Lord, by the Spirit of God, now pour yourself into the Word of God. This will happen also. Search me, O God. See if there is any ideas planted by the evil one, planted by those arrows, planted by the enemy, planted by the old flesh, planted by the fallen world system inside of me. Is there anything of the flesh? Is there anything of the enemy? Is there anything that I've come to believe that is contrary to the will of God, contrary to the Spirit of God, contrary to the Word of God? Things that I need to identify, taking every idea, imagination, taking it captive. Bringing down strongholds, that is, those that ideology, the constructs that are built in the mind and either have the hand of God on it or the hand of the devil. Now, you can go back into Timothy if you want to, where Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were, by their own giving over, though, they were taken captive. You ever read it? To do the devil's will. That's what it says. The devil had taken them captive to do his will. And there are some listening reconners that are in that state right now. The devil has taken you captive to do his will. The guy that sent me another ritual curse or ritual, you know, stuff in the mail this last Monday, just simply doing the devil's will. The one that writes the letter and it's just taken the devil's will. The devil's will. What is the devil's will? Kill all and get rid of all of Israel. Destroy the Christian. Look in Revelation 12. You want to see the devil's will? Deceive the whole world. Look in Revelation 13. You want to see the devil's will? A global military, political, economic system that will lead to Armageddon. You want to see the devil's will? Look at Revelation 16. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, out of their mouths demons go, are sent by design to the kings of the earth. To do what? Inception. Ideas by supernatural source, non-human intelligences, guiding their minds and bringing them to gather together on the great day of God Almighty. In the fields, Armageddon. That's what it's all about, ultimately. Globalism is nothing more than the platform for Armageddon. You got to understand that. So again, And I would say by God's providence and the prayers that have gone up for this, some of you can send this, some of you can pray for this, but I've got to speak a word to the politician, a word to the soldier, and a word to the greedy, wealthy elite. Before I do, let me tell you this on the page. We have the phrase, what is imposition of will? Now, I've kind of said that already out of Timothy, where it talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander, how the devil had taken them captive to do his will. Stop for a moment. Think about that scripture. I mean, it's about the devil's agenda, the devil's will, the devil's idea. Implement it. In the future, as biblical prophecy shows, Armageddon, the generals, the military, the globalist army comes out on the field. They're there. Because there's ideas. They've grabbed them. They're putting into practice the ideas of the fallen cherub. The ideology. However you want to break it down. You can say that his ideas are the concepts, the ideology, the blueprints. I mean, the blueprints for Auschwitz and the blueprints for building those ovens. Track them back and you're going to find that it was conceived in the mind of the fallen cherub. Does he want people to know that right away? No. Unless he's really got some of those deep down bloodthirsty, blood sacrificing. I mean, those that have become so transmuted that they are as wicked as the devil himself. They are really taken captive to do his will, willingly. As if God didn't know. As if there was no one to give an account to. As if you won't lose your soul, second death, second resurrection, lake of fire, eternal destruction. It's on your head if you spit on and trample the blood of Christ. When you read Revelation 13, you're reading about the global mind, the globalism. You're reading about a political, military, economic system that God defines as Theron, a beast, a venomous, wicked, evil, threatening regime. So important is this regime that God brought it out to Daniel 2,600 years ago. So important is it that you can read 30 other books on the subject. I was trying to read another one today on the subject. But when you really back away and come back to the simple, defined, any book written on globalism that doesn't bear witness to in detail, in the definitiveness of Scripture, isn't really worth a whole lot. If someone says, yes, globalism's coming, yes, there's an evil empire, yes, but they don't know what it's all about. Well, I don't believe in the devil, but there's an evil empire coming. I don't believe in the devil, but there's like an end of the world war might, you know, come. A catastrophic collapse. Go take some ayahuasca and go sit among the Mayan temples and engage the temple gods, the bloodthirsty human sacrificing demon gods down there, and take in the prophecies, decipher the prophecies, and say, "Ooh, we have found something great. We found something enormous. This is telling us that, yeah, there's a the end of the world might come December 21st, 2012, and it may eliminate billions of people, a cleansing of the earth, but according to the Mayan prophecies, this is a good thing because a new age may come after that, and we might all evolve and become light beings. Swamp land in hell, my friend. God says about this regime, in God unveiling the future about the political, economic, military system that will, and I'll say this clearly again, be beyond anything in human history, beyond the Babylonians, beyond the Medo-Persian Empire, beyond the Greeks, beyond the Romans, beyond the USA, beyond the European Union, beyond Russia, beyond the Nazis. You know the Nazis were to the dark side? Simply one step in a ladder. Just a step. As devastating as that step was to the world, it was a step. What is to come is global. What is to come? Billions. What is to come? Greatest destruction of humanity, greatest destruction of the environment, greatest destruction of everything in the sum total of human history. And God gives the heads up in his infinite, definitive detail. Too bad there's just a few that seem to want to really know that. Some just want to hop, skip, sing, take their Prozac, and think somehow it's all going to be all right. I wish I were, I wish I might. Well, how's that go? The three arenas again, political, military, economic. Keep watching these three through all the talk shows, through all the books, through all the information. Keep understanding that as God is defined in Daniel and in the book of Revelation, specifically 13, all the way to the end, all the way to Armageddon, political, military, economic. God defines that the rise of this beast kingdom, this Theron, that it is so huge, so immense, so imposing, so controlling, that is very clear out of the book of Daniel, chapter 7, 9, 11, read it, that it doesn't rise by human power, and it's not taken down, in reference to the Antichrist himself too, not taken down by human hand. Nothing by human hand can stop it, bring it down. But the declaration that the Ancient of Days, that there is one that will come, there is one that will bring it all down. There is one, you know, it is amazing to me. I urge you to read just chapter 11 and 12, or maybe just chapter 12, maybe you only have time. Chapter 12 of Daniel. You know what you're reading? From 2,600 years ago, you're reading about the very end of history. How the end's, well, you can read in Daniel how the end's going to come like a flood. Wars to the very end. I mean, wars to the very end, because Armageddon's going to be the final war. But to the Luciferian, to the lost individual, to the one of you that does not have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them right now, not yet, understand this. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Romans chapter 8 will tell you that. And if that is true, you're an open candidate for the wrong side. And if that is true, are you willing to lose it all for self-glorification? For stubborn refusal to acknowledge that you're the sinner, not God. That you're the corrupted one, not God. That you're the lost one, that in you is a death code that you can't get rid of. I want to take a moment here, and I think by the Spirit of God and by the providence of God, I think that this will be heard. I want to say a word to the politician, first of all. To those in politics, to those doing the politics. You know, there's people over the years I've met that are really, you know, godly individuals that love God, want to do right. But I want you to think in the terms of what the general person on the street thinks. Politicians are greedy. Politicians are in it for themselves. Politicians lie. Politicians tell the people one thing but make decisions behind their back for another thing. Politicians disappoint people on a public level. Politicians are in bed. This is the belief of many. Politicians are in bed with the devil, willingly, wittingly, or unwittingly. Even underground Luciferians see it that way. Politicians have an enormous place of power, no wonder. And I'm going to tell you this. All of biblical prophecy says you are number one target for the dark side to enter into your life, continue to betray God, Christ, and do the will. Be taken to do the devil's will. If the only way is to repent completely and walk away, turn to Christ, do it. To the soldier, to the weapons development specialist, DOD, to the general, to the InfoGuard, to the one listening. I don't know where you're at, but I want you to understand that military in Russia, Europe, United States, military, like in a small way, I mean, look how huge it was in Germany, but the coming globalist military is a satanic idea, is the will of Lucifer. It is he who is putting the inception, the thoughts, the ideas, bringing the development, inspiring and causing wars, and just as Daniel, God says in Daniel, all these wars going on, they're going to continue all the way to the end, until the final thing, Armageddon. And Satan desires to use military to build super soldiers to implement his will, his purposes, to back the coming regime. Ultimately, every soldier will be led, as we see in the book of Revelation, 19:19, 19:20. They'll be led to take the mark of the beast and worship the image. And if that occurs, you are gone. You are over. Your history is sealed. Right now is the day and the hour to turn to the living Christ, get the power of God on the inside, and have the indwelling of God. No matter what occurs, no matter what happens, I mean, I understand for the soldier, you know the breath of darkness around you in the Middle East. You know the smell of blood. You know the sounds of the bullets and the bombs. You know the tense feeling. You know the depression. You know the feeling. Whatever. You're wondering why so many other soldiers had the idea of suicide. Oppression, depression. There's a need there for spiritual cleansing. The Middle East is packed with the dark side's ideas. The inception. The growling terrorism. And to the greedy, filthy elite that knows that they have lived off the backs of the world, scarfing it all, going to the secret meetings, loving brushing elbows with the supranatural dark side, knowing in your mind that you're going to be the kings of the earth, right? You're sitting there in your chair at some moment, that $500 cigar, just blow the smoke out right in front of you. Maybe you'll see the imprint of the face of the fallen cherub, wicked grin of betrayal, gonna suck your soul to hell, my friend. Rust is dark, shadowthedarkness.net, on the web, remember us in prayer. Dear friends of ours, remember us in support.